I want to take a moment to introduce Erin. She doesn't need introduction to most of you, but we have a few guests, and it's always good, I think, to remember who it is that comes up here, that the people that come up here are not professionals that went off to some school to get trained, that they're people of God that have been before the Lord seeking God, and Erin has been that way for many years. She started working with the youth of our church when she was 19, and now she's 29, is that correct? Correct. But she was a school teacher. She won Teacher of the Year where she was, and she special education. She got her master's degree working with autistic children, and she has an ability. One day I went to her classroom, and one of her students was there. They were all autistic, severely autistic. And she said, "Isaiah, say hi to my dad." And he wouldn't look at me. And then Erin said, "Oh, Dad, you don't have a name tag on." So I put a name tag on, and then Isaiah would look at me. And I said, "Gosh, this world you're in." I said, How do you get encouraged? She said, "Dad, you don't understand." He said, "The slightest little thing is like a giant thing for me. That's just the way I am." And that's the way she is. And everyone here, most people here know the story of their son and Cade and what she and Mike have been through and continue to go through. But what it's done is it's opened up a door for her and Mike to places they couldn't otherwise go. You and I would go there, we'd be kind of strangers visiting. Erin has a passport into the most difficult situations that people encounter at the most vulnerable times of their life. So I'm really excited to have you come and share this Mother's Day, Erin. I don't know what you've got in mind, but I'm sure it'll be good. Come on.
Thank you. It's fun to be introduced by your dad. It's pretty cool. It's so great to be here, and just I think about Mother's Day. For many of us, it has different feelings. Some, you know, when we've lost our parents, it can be that painful part. Some that, you know, didn't have a great relationship with our moms, it can be hard. I just know I'm sensitive to that this morning, that on a Mother's Day, there's lots of different emotions in a room. But today, we're going to highlight the fact that all of us have had a mother. And that's you, and that's every person in the Bible, that's your neighbor, they've all had a mother, okay? So together we can be assured that we're all sitting in here because we've all had a mother. Okay, just wanted to say that. Okay, a teacher gave her second grade class a lesson on magnets and what it did. The next day, it was a written test. She included this question: my full name has 6 letters. The first one is M. I pick up things. What am I? The students' papers were turned in. The teacher was astonished to find out that 50% of the students answered the question, mother, but they had been studying magnets. So funny. Okay, a little boy forgot his lines in a Sunday school presentation. His mother was in the front row to prompt him. She gestured and formed the words silently with her lips, but it didn't help. The son's memory was blank. Finally, she leaned forward, the cue, "I am," finally, and then she leaned forward and whispered and said, "I am," and he said, "Oh, okay." The child beamed with great feeling. His voice said, "My mother is the light of the world." You can picture that, right? I've been that mom, like. A 4-year-old and a 6-year-old presented their mom with a houseplant. They used their own money, and she was thrilled. The older of them said with a sad face, "There was a bouquet that I wanted to give you at the flower shop. It was really pretty. It was too expensive, though. It had a ribbon, and it said, 'Rest in peace.'" And we thought it was just perfect, because you're always asking for a little peace and rest. Can't you just picture that? Like, how cute. In Psalm 139:13, it talks about how God knit us together in our mother's womb. Can't help but look at you, Natasha. God is knitting together your baby girl right now. She already has a calling. The Lord already knows the hairs on her head. He knows her fingerprints, and he's going to great detail. There's detail for that baby girl, and there's detail that has been put on you. You're not an accident. You're not overlooked. You're not over-exaggerated. He made you the way that you're supposed to be. And he did that because he loves you. And God never wastes anything. He makes you the way you are absolutely on purpose. So I have a little video that I would like to share.
This spring, only one hero can save her family and prevent disaster.
Mom, we're gonna be late for school.
I don't think so.
Whoa.
Experience the phenomenon that critics are calling inspiring.
Mom, I can't find number 17.
Come on, Billy. Dig deep.
A lot of fun. And pure genius.
Mom, where's my phone?
Table.
Keys.
Bedroom.
Dragon Man.
Under the couch between the monkey and the flip-flop.
How does she do that?
Created by God to demonstrate his love with grace, elegance, and poise.
Have you seen my butane torch?
And now we have some of our own kids. Who are going to tell you about their mom.
I love you, Mama. And I love to, I love to snuggle her all day and kiss her, and I like to snuggle her when it's nighttime in her bed. And I love snuggling my mommy all day.
I love my mom because she smells like roses and she is nice to me. She is funny.
My mom is the best mom. She is the best mom because she is so fun to be around. One reason is she is thoughtful, and an example would be she gets us toys when she is away without us asking her. The other reason would be athletic. The example is she helps me with my soccer practices, and she is so good at it. And the third reason is caring. The example would be she makes us lunches and lets us have play dates and sleepovers. My mom is the best mom. Happy Mother's Day.
I love my mom because when I need help with my homework or when I'm sick, she's always there for me no matter what happens.
I love my mom because she means the world to me. She's always been there for me and always cheered for me. My mom is the best mom, best in the West, and I love my mom because she is loving and caring and always makes me happy when I see her.
My mom always lets me vent to her about a small bad thing that happened to me when she had one of her worst days ever. I can cry on her shoulder and she won't tell me to stop or complain about stains on her shirt. My mom is my best friend, and I can tell her everything.
I love my mom because, first, she makes outstanding food. And whenever I'm in need or getting picked on, my mom is always there for me. She always has that wonderful smile on her face. She gives me the best advice, and she is also a strong woman in Christ, and I love her so much.
Three things I love most about my mom. First is that before thinking about herself, she thinks about us. Second, even though there are certain things my mom does or says that I don't like, she's putting in a full effort to look out for me, even if it's hard for me to understand. Lastly, my mom's personality is one of my favorite personalities that I know. We share some of the same personality, and I'm glad we do. She can change the atmosphere of things at the right time. It's a really special gift of hers. She's lucky to have it, and we're lucky to witness it. I love my mom for many reasons and hope that all moms have a happy Mother's Day.
I love my mom because she is more than my mom, but also my friend. She also goes out of her way to do stuff for us, me and my sisters, and she's always listens to what I have to say.
Happy Mother's Day!
Moms, you're awesome. Today we're telling you that. We're so thankful for all your hard work. What's so cool is the kids are noticing. All those times that you do all the hard stuff, they're listening, they're paying attention, they're getting it. So thank you, moms. When I think about my heritage, I have to think about the moms that have gone before me. I think about my grandmothers. I think about their tenacity. I think about their the way that they prayed, the way that they stood fast, the way that they wouldn't give up. I often think about, what did they pray that I didn't know? Who did they pray for? Did they pray for Lucy's children? Who knows? But I received those prayers, and I know that when we pray, we're praying beyond that situation. The Lord never forgets, and I believe He never, when we pray with a sincere heart, He listens to our prayers. Timing can always be different, but He listens. He listens. My own mom, she's a hardworking, unassuming, kind, thoughtful, and doesn't give up. She shares truth and love in her actions. I love you, Mom. I love how the Lord captured her heart in such a creative way that would only work for my mom. He grabbed her heart in art, and He grabbed our entire family on that side through a bold art teacher that wasn't afraid to say, "Do you know Jesus?" Wasn't afraid to follow up, wasn't afraid to reach out. It was through that moment that my grandmother became a Christian. It was through my grandmother that letters were written that were thrown in the trash to my aunt, who's super feisty, Aunt Debbie. They were thrown in the trash. She'd take the cash and chuck them. Her roommate would get the letter, and she became a Christian. God's word doesn't return void. It was later that my aunt received the Lord along with my uncle, and it spread through our generation. We never know what one simple act will change. That teacher's boldness in that moment, that willingness to step out, changed a generation. Isn't that awesome? So awesome. What is faith? I've been thinking about this a lot, and like, I think I have it. I want more of it. What is faith? Faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It's the evidence of things we cannot see. Through their faith, the people in the days of old earned a good reputation. By faith, we understand that the entire universe was formed at God's command. Kate and I were just having a talk about this. I said, "Bud, later you're going to have teachers that tell you you come from a monkey." Okay? You don't. You come from God. And we believe, what did I tell you, Kate? God spun it off His fingers, right? He spun it off. And that takes faith to believe that. We're sharing faith stories. By faith, we understand that the entire universe was formed at God's command, and that we now see that it did not come from anything we can see. We hear a lot of phrases like, "Do you have faith for that? Is that good? Do you have faith for that? Oh, I'm so full of faith right now. Do you have faith for me? Do you have faith in me? I don't have faith in them." And those are all the ways I kind of was thinking about how I hear faith. And as being a mom, being a person, being a child of God, we need faith. And we need faith that's the kind of faith that moves mountains in our lives, that prays for the sick and they're healed, that prays for our marriages, that prays for our children, and sees change. So there's a mom that I'm going to read to you from a book called Heroes, and see if you can guess who she is. She's a mother of everyone you'll ever meet. We don't know her name. For someone who is very important, it's amazing how little we actually know about her. We know neither where she was born or where she lived. We don't even know when she died. We don't know. However, she lived during a period when world calamity and distress unlike anything in the world has ever been known before. unlike anything the world has ever known before or since. We also know that she supported her husband. She became a woman who rightfully took her place in world history. Do you know the answer? No, it is not Eve. This is the woman who is at least 10 generations removed from Mother Eve. The Bible, she is identified only as the wife of Noah. For lack of a better identification, we'll call her Mrs. Noah. And she's very, very important. Mrs. Noah was a woman whose worth has never been maybe fully recognized. Mrs. Noah learned that her faith was real in loneliness. Mrs. Noah was a wife to a very, very, very unpopular preacher. She endured tons of mocking, and her friends just didn't get her. She had her own faith, even when when the crowd was going against her. She wasn't afraid to go against the current. Mrs. Noah was the mother of three sons who had a lot of bad friends and making bad choices, and everything was against their family values. You can only imagine her three sons coming home every day, maybe crying or being angry that their friends are so mean because their dad's so crazy, saying he's going to do something big that they've never seen. You can imagine Mrs. Noah wiping their tears and saying, "It's okay, it's okay." Mrs. Noah was a faith builder to her family. The third snapshot of Mrs. Noah is maybe that of a grandmother. All children and all grandchildren love to hear stories, especially about their parents and all the bad things they did. Mine ask all the time, "No, tell me again, what did my mom do?" You can only imagine the stories that Mrs. Noah could tell of how all the teasing and how their dad worked through it and how they found a wife even in the middle of all of that. Till when they got in the ark and everyone's laughing and saying, "What is this rain they don't know about?" And then it starts raining and raining and raining, and how the boat rocked up and down and the whole earth was flooded. These are the stories that Mrs. Noah got to tell her grandchildren. She was a vivid eyewitness to the accounts of what God did. Can we say that together? What God did. What God did. A person can have a profound influence in our world and never receive much popularity or notoriety. A lot of moms probably feel like that at times, doing the same thing, the same way, again and again and again. Mrs. Noah was not only influenced her children, but her children's children, and today we're talking about her. She made a difference. She was under the radar, but she was bold, wasn't she? Can you imagine having to stand up against literally everybody, not just a neighbor or a school, like everybody you know thinks you're crazy town, your whole family? And your kids are like, "Okay, mom." You know, I mean, they're still kids, right? This isn't like, I think sometimes when we read the Bible, it's easy to think everybody's just perfect and just goes with the flow. "Okay, mom." I don't think so. Doesn't say, but I like to use my imagination that there was some talks going on. Another mom that's really amazing, and I've talked about her before, but she blows my mind, is Moses' mom. Mike and I were talking about this. She had to give away Moses twice. So once she had to give him away when put him down the Nile in the basket, and then when he was weaned again, twice. And they say that's about 3 years old when she gave him back. By all human standards, Moses never had a chance. Okay, he's in the bad statistic column. He's a low achiever, he doesn't, whatever. You know how that goes. Like, we don't know. A bad statistic column. Moses never had a chance. Not only was he born a slave, but he already had a death sentence on him. He had been born, if he had been born a girl, he would have been allowed to live. So his gender didn't help him out either. He was destined to die. Moses was a Hebrew, born in a cruel culture in ancient Egypt, when Pharaoh had declared that all Hebrew boys that were born would be killed and exterminated, thrown them into the river to the crocodiles. Moses' mom took a great risk. I believe she was a woman who knew the statistics. She knew the news. She heard the talk on the street. She knew what people were saying. She knew. But this mom had faith. And when Moses was born, she saw something different. She saw that there was something special about this boy. In Exodus, it talks about, and you don't have to pull this up if you don't want to, but she became pregnant and gave birth to her son, and she saw that he was a fine child and hid him for 3 months. And then she could hide him no longer. And she got a basket for him and coated it with tar and pitch, and then she placed the child in it and put it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile. His sister, also another faith journey, can you imagine Naomi going, you're going to do what to Sheffield? What? She too had faith. His sister stood at a distance and was watching what was happening. Then Pharaoh's daughter went down to the Nile to bathe, and her attendants were walking along the riverbank. She saw a basket among the reeds and sent her female slave to get it. She opened it and saw the baby. He was crying. She felt sorry for him. This is one of the Hebrew babies, she said. The sister, operating in faith, asked Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and get, let's say, a Hebrew woman to nurse the baby for you? It'd be a good idea. Yes, go, she answered. So the girl went out to get the baby's mother. Pharaoh's daughter said to her, take this baby and nurse him for me, and I'll pay you. God delivered and saved and paid the mom. So the woman took the baby and nursed him. When the child grew older, she took him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son, the second time she gave him away. And they named him Moses, saying, I drew him out of the water. Putting her son in the Nile River was to save his life. She took a risk. Was it scary? Absolutely. Could he have died? Absolutely. Were they naive? I don't think so. I think they knew what was going on. And Pharaoh commanded all the baby boys to put to death. His mom, after she hid him, you can imagine how their family maybe felt, hiding a baby 3 months old, crying in the house. I don't even know, maybe some neighbors knew what was going on. I don't know. As we look at Moses' life, I love that he's in the Faith Hall of Fame. And just for fun, you guys should read that out loud. I was just so encouraged as I was reading Hebrews 11. And I'm just going to read a part that applies to Moses, but it really is fun to read. You're just going, yes, yes, as you're reading it. By an act of faith, Moses' parents hid him away for 3 months at birth. They saw the child's beauty and the king's decree. By faith, Moses, when grown, refused the privilege of the Egyptian royal house. He chose a hard life with God's people rather than an opportunistic soft life in sin with the oppressors. He valued suffering in the Messiah's camp for greater than the Egyptian wealth because he was looking ahead, anticipating the payoff. By an act of faith, he turned his heel on Egypt, indifferent to the king's blind rage. He had his eye on the one no eye can see and kept right on going. By the act of faith, he kept the Passover feast and sprinkled the Passover blood on which each house so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch them. By an act of faith, Israel walking through the Red Sea on dry ground. The Egyptians tried it and drowned by faith. That mom, what she did by faith, changed everything. This one's really a fun story. This is an unnamed mother, but I call her Mama Bear because I can relate to this mom. This is in Matthew 15:21. Then Jesus left Galilee and went north to the region. A Gentile woman who lived there came to him, pleading, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David, for my daughter is possessed by a demon that torments her severely." But Jesus gave her no reply, not even a word. His disciples urged him to send her away. "Tell her to go away," they said. "She's bothering us with all her begging." And Jesus said to the woman, "I was sent to help God's lost sheep, the people of Israel." But she came and she worshiped him, pleading again, "Lord, help me." She replied, "That's true, Lord. Even the dogs are allowed to eat the scraps that fall beneath their master's table." "Dear woman," Jesus said to her, "your faith is great. Your request has been granted, and your daughter is instantly healed." That's a woman of faith who stepped out, who knew if she just got a hold of Jesus, everything would change. She doesn't even have a name, but she was a mama bear. She saw there is hope there. She probably knew the statistics. She probably wasn't loved. She probably had no friends. They probably never got invited to dinner. Play dates, I don't think so. Can you imagine? I mean, this is real. Let's break this down. Like, this, her daughter was possessed. And this mom just kept going back to Jesus. "No, no, 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 no." And Jesus said, "Your faith has made her well." I have been thinking so much about faith. We had an opportunity where some of you were there, where Cade got to pray at the National Day of Prayer. And it was so fun to see all these different pastors, over 70 churches, some praying in their native language, some, the one right before Cade was a big Pentecostal pastor. It was so awesome. And just going for it and talking to people and seeing people operating in their giftings. And we had an opportunity at the end. There was a lady I was kind of watching the whole time, and she was in a wheelchair. And I just am like, my dad referred to the passport. I just used my passport a lot. And I at the end, Cade and I and Mike and Lucy were leaving, and we saw her. And I said, "Oh, hi, I saw you getting prayer. And I don't know what brings you to a wheelchair, but my son's recovering from a stroke. Would it be okay if he prayed for you?" And she goes, "Sure." And I said, "So what brings you to a wheelchair?" She says, what did she say? You remember, Cade? "I had a stroke." It was that moment where Cade, all the prayers you've invested in him, he got to give that away and pray for this other lady. And Cade asked her, "What is it that you want?" If you remember last Sunday, that somebody asked Cade that. "What is it that you want?" She said, "I want to walk." So Cade prayed that she would walk. And it's an amazing story. And then I was talking to her caregiver. I don't know the story, but the mom and dad were not around. And I said, "You know, I actually have a really big heart for you, because she needs full-time care. And would it be okay if my husband and I pray for you too?" And she said, "Sure. So you guys have prayed for us. So we're pouring back what you've put into us on these guys, because I don't know their story. And we're praying for them." And she starts crying. And all of a sudden I said, "Do you have children?" "Okay." Then she says, "I do. Two have died, and one doesn't know Jesus. One had sickle cell disease, which is an awful, awful childhood illness. The other one had some major issues, and he died. And then the other one's so angry that he will not even acknowledge Jesus." So she's crying, and I'm crying, because I tell you, that is probably the hardest pain for a parent that wants their son or daughter. And I've told Cade this, "I'd rather you in a wheelchair, but to know Jesus, because you're really free then." And so you could see that on this mother. She just, or the caretaker who's loved her like her mother. And Mike and I are getting fired up praying over them. And then this other lady comes over and she goes, "Well, I want to pray too." So she's praying. We're having so much, I don't know these people. It was a blast. And we're praying, and Mike's like, "This is just like church, shutting it down." And we're there, and this lady comes over and she starts telling me her faith story. She goes, "I feel like you need to know my faith story." I'm like, "Okay." And she said, "I have a Make-A-Wish kid. And she's 19 years old, and she's had numerous, numerous surgeries. And I want to tell you, this last surgery, I was in the shower and I said, 'Enough. I don't want another surgery, Lord.' And so she said that, and she kept praying and praying and praying and asked the Lord to just keep increasing her faith. And she felt like God told her to go into to go in the operating room to have it declared that her daughter was going to have a normal heartbeat. There was going to be nothing wrong. They were going to go home that night, and there's going to be nothing wrong with her heart. And I said, wow. Because I'm picturing this whole scene. I can picture it. I've been there. And I said, what did they say? She goes, well, I told my husband first. He's like, okay, go for it. I'm like, okay. What did your family say? They were kind of like, ooh, okay. And well, anyways, they're in the room, and their daughter is at the age where she kind of gets embarrassed when her mom prays for her but actually really wants it. She's been in surgery and wants it. So her daughter had to go change and get in her gown, and then it was the moment. And her daughter, or the mom realized, I'm going to do this. This is, he's going to actually have me say it. So she said, if I get everybody's attention, and I have a neighbor like this too. It's so funny. I shared the story there. Okay, if I can get everybody's attention in the OR for a minute, you are going to see the love of God today. You're going to see a healing. You are going to try to do surgery. Nothing's wrong with her heart. Her heart will be perfectly, and she'll be fine, and we will not be staying here tonight. Thank you. And she walked out of the down the hall and told her family, and they were like, okay. And she said there was some families that were, you know, she tried to cling to those who were had faith too, and they kept praying and kept praying and kept praying. So then the Jewish doctor, they're waiting in the pediatric area for all parent, all kids that are getting heart surgery. A doctor comes, a Jewish doctor comes and says, well, I understand there's been some prayer in here. And she goes, yes. She said, well, I'm here to tell you we opened her up. Her heart works perfectly. There's no need for surgery, and you're going home today. And I just, you guys, I was just, this just shows, I think you need, I don't know your story, but I think you need to know that heart, that faith story. And I said, and I will tell it. Because telling it, what does that do? It increases your faith. This did not just happen 10 years ago. This just happened. And that Jewish doctor goes, I want some of that. Pray for me. And they prayed over her. Then her and her husband stayed 2 hours in the OR, and she said, excuse me, parents, I want to tell you about a miracle that just happened. And she told all the parents, and she said, if anyone wants prayer, my husband and I will be here. They prayed for 2 hours for families. And they declared what God did. And I just think that is so awesome. Because we don't know what one simple act, but one thing you do can change the entire course. We do not know. And I am telling you, your prayers are being heard. Your prayers are being heard. God is listening. I mean, I was just, as I was reading this, I'm like, man, I needed to hear this. Feeling my faith rise. We don't pray to a dead God. We pray to a God who hears us. He hears us. And I'm claiming this, and I just told the Lord, I said, you know my story. And I trust you. And I love when we get to shout it with a megaphone. I love when people get really close. A new doctor comes in or a new therapist, because I believe God's bringing them into the miracle. And they get to see real close with their eyes. And I love it when they use words of impossible and there's nothing out there and this can't happen. I said, promise, write it down. You said it. You said it. Don't tell me later that this, well, we didn't know. No, you said it. That's right. Cade's been a witness. He was laughing because I even got our painter praying for us. He either thought I was crazy or I had to include him in on the story. I was just out of the house so much, he was like, oh, boy. Right, Cade? We were laughing about that. In Hebrews 12, it talks about the cloud of witnesses. Moms, your kids are watching. People, we're watching. Therefore, since we have such a great cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every encumbrance and the sin that so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, for the joy set before him, endured the cross, despiting the shame. He sat down at the right hand, or the right throne of God. For consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. He's won. Amen. I think about faith, and I think about what is it that the Lord's asking of me? What is the Lord asking of our church? What are we too afraid to do? Who won't we forgive? Why won't we take a step out? What are we scared of? I think our eyes are looking down. We need to look up. Look up. We're looking at things that are just statistics, that is just a boy who should have been killed, that is just a demon-possessed girl that nobody cared about, just a girl. But one person made a difference. In Romans 10:9, it says, if you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe it in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. It is for by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and is by openly declaring your faith that you will be saved. And the scriptures tells us, anyone who trusts in him will never be disgraced. We trust you, Lord. I trust you, Lord. Trust has nothing to do with understanding, by the way. As the scriptures tell us, anyone who trusts in him will never be disgraced. Jew and Gentile are the same in that respect. They have the same Lord who gives generously to all who call upon him. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how can I call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they have never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how can anyone go and tell them without being sent? That is why the scripture says, how beautiful are the feet of the messengers who bring good news. You guys are doing. But not everyone welcomes the good news. For Isaiah the prophet says, the Lord who has delivered our message. So faith comes from hearing. That is hearing the good news about Christ. That is every time you give your testimony. And it does not have to be, there's a scripture for you, and if you'll turn to this pamphlet, no. It comes from Bill talking to the coworker on the side of the road saying, you know what? Have you tithing? Do you know about that? We don't know. That man, his parents are probably praying for him and probably prayed that someone at work would talk to him. Unless someone. But I ask you, the people of Israel actually heard the message. Yes, they have. The message has gone throughout the earth. And the words to all the world. And the message is the very message about faith we preach. Okay, this is just, let's see, another, I wanted to read Hebrews 12 because I thought it was awesome in the Message version. And think about this, and think about you, think about your parents. Think about a good experience or a bad experience. It doesn't really matter. You are you because God made you, and when you were in your mother's womb, he went to great detail about you, and he has his eye on you. No matter what's happened, he's paying attention. Do you see what this means? All these pioneers who have blazed the way, all these veterans cheering us on, it means we better get on with it. Strip down, stop, start running, and never quit. No extra spiritual fat. Keep your eyes on Jesus, who began and finished this race we're in. Study how he did it, because he never lost sight of where he was heading. That exhilarating finish in and with God. He could put up with anything that came along his way. Cross, shame, whatever. And then, now he's here, the place of honor, right alongside God. When you find yourself flagging in your faith, go over the story again, item by item. the long litany of hostility he plowed through, that will shoot adrenaline to your souls. Isn't that awesome? So there's just another little story I wanted to share. Cade's teacher, Mrs. Valdez, almost every day I tell her I love her and I've been praying for her, because I do. And she is, you know, I've talked about my faith so much. You know, I don't really know where she is at, but she always says yes. So she told me that they had a death in the family, and it's a crazy story. Her husband was on the football team, and there was a guy there that was doing jumps in the wave and landed wrong and became a quadriplegic, and her husband saved his life, pulled him out of the water and saved his life. Turns out, long story short, her sister married the quadriplegic's brother. They all became like a family years later. Well, about a week ago, he was not doing well, and his time was coming to the end. So she said, I will be there and hold your hand, to her sister. And her husband, who she says is not really like this, went and grabbed his hand. The mom came up to the nurse and said, this is the boy who saved my son's life a long time ago. And they were telling him, hold on, your mom's not here. Don't go yet. Don't go yet. Because it was very touch and go. Wait, 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 wait. Mom's coming. Brother's coming. And he waited and he held on. And then they started saying things like this that I just could hear. And I want you to picture painting this message to your kids and your families and your friends. They said, hold on. In a little while, you're going to run. In a little while, you're not going to need that wheelchair. In a little while, you're pain-free. In a little while, you're going to have on streets of gold. In a little while, you're going to be with Jesus. And they cheered him to his home. They cheered him on. And I thought, isn't that a great legacy? If we moms and dads and people cheering each other on towards home. And being a person that will take that risk. Maybe that you're saying something to a neighbor that you've wanted to say and the Lord's leading you. You might be that art teacher that changed, that brought Jesus to my mom. You might be Moses' mom who thought, there's a risk in all of this, I'm going to do this differently. You might have a real crazy situation with your kids and you keep begging and begging and begging and knocking. You might be the one. And I just have been praying that as a church body, we rise in faith, because the story's not over. The story is not what has been just written in your life. Eternity is calling. Eternity is what we should be thinking about a lot more often than what we're having for lunch. I'm with you, though. I love you guys. Happy Mother's Day.